Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome once again to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the blessed guy who gets to be the host of the program and also the pastor of the church Epiclesis right here in Sacramento. This radio broadcast, by the way, is brought to you by the ministry of Epiclesis. And as always, we'd love you to pop over to the website and learn more about the church or maybe this thing called Ancient Future Faith. That web address is epiclesis.org, spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. You can also learn more about Ancient Future Faith by going over to another website. It's called the Ancient Future Faith Network, and that address is all one word, ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. And today I have a very special guest on the line. She is a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. She's also, I'm proud to say, a very dear friend, Dr. Wida Harding, calling in today from beautiful New York City. Good morning, Wida. How are you?
Good morning, Chris Alford. How are you?
It's a delight to have you on the program. I don't know why I haven't had you on the program before, Wida, but we're correcting that fault today.
Well, nothing happens before its time.
Wida is involved in a variety of ministries. I've described her before as a force of nature, and she's an amazing human being. She's a wonderful minister. She's a wonderful musician. She's a wonderful friend. And we met Wida for the first time through the Institute for Worship Studies. Tell our listeners just a little bit about the way we met, and then you might want to just launch off a little bit on you and what we need to know about you.
Well, Dr. Alford, you were the person who was responsible for cleaning up the dissertation. And while cleaning up my dissertation, there were things that we found that we had a common bond in. And out of a common bond came a mutual friendship mm-hmm. and mutual love between the two of us.
Yeah.
And I think that's the dissertation is what planted the seed between Chris and Wida. I think that's a safe way of explaining how we met.
I do too. Let's talk about that dissertation just a little bit, Wida. You were working on some really interesting ideas, and it just really sparked all kinds of creative thoughts in my mind. Tell folks a little bit about what your focus was at the Institute for Worship Studies in your final thesis.
My focus in my thesis was to create new standards for key music ministry leadership positions in the Black Baptist Church in New York City at that time. Of course, it has grown out of just in New York City. My issue and my concern was that there are people who are in music ministry or music leadership positions in church, and regardless of the ethnicity, music is a powerful tool for worship.
For sure.
However, these people do not have or had not or will never have the opportunity to go to a seminary where they can get real good information of substance, if I can say that, but yet they are in these leadership positions. And the lines of authority or responsibility have become so ambiguous, even to the point where they don't even know who they are. And my thing is, if you're going to be a choir director, then that's the path you need to study. But if you're going to be what they call a minister of music, we can deal with the of music, but it's the minister part that would always kind of like tick me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to be called a minister, then you should be trained to be a minister. You should be given ministerial responsibilities. You should be accountable as a minister, not just be someone to come and play the piano or the organ or lead the people and get the people's emotions all stirred up, and you don't have anything to help bring the emotions back down to the ground with. You have no theological substance, not even any songs that were theologically sound. And I just got sick of it. So the problem was that we could put anybody in charge of, quote, the music leadership, and people would leave worship not having been fed.
Mm.
And so with your help, I've been able to even develop on the standards that I have developed so that when pastors bring someone in to lead their congregations, my goodness, at least they will know what they're getting and not just someone who's there for the paycheck.
So the overall scope of the idea is that you saw the problem in the traditionally black church where folks who were being called music minister really didn't have any training in the ministerial or theological or pastoral side of things. So as I understand it, Wida, you developed for the very first time these standards for folks who want to have that title, minister, in the traditionally black church. What was the first step, Wida? Were you casting about looking for people who want to go through the program? Was it hard to recruit people for the program? How did that first group get attached to you? And what was that like to send through the first class of these people?
I was the minister of music of the association. The association here, the United Missionary Baptist Association, is a cluster of churches. The responsibility is to look out for each other. And by being that, I've been able to be in touch with the people who were in music leadership positions. With one of the persons, when I left the Army, I went to her church, and when I was leaving her church, she asked me, was there any kind of a course for a choir director? And I would tell her, well, just, you know, I'll hook you up with someone, but too many people started asking me, and that's really what kind of set things in order here. As far as these people, they've been in some of my classes, or they've been in a choir with me, or they have served with me. And I went to about 15 people, and out of the 15, these 7 are the ones that lasted throughout the whole course. And being that it's something that we've never done before, I'm still processing, because I really have not been able to say, how did I get from point A to point B? And maybe Spirit is not ready for me to do that yet. But I will tell you this, Dr. Alford, a magazine came out yesterday called the Positive Community Magazine. And an interview, there's an article about me in it, and it's called In the Key of Christ, A New Era in Music Ministry. When you get the chance.
Yes.
And just, if you will allow me to, just let me read this first paragraph.
Yeah, please.
The editor is named Quinita Good, and she wrote, "Wake up, everybody. It's a brand new day for music ministry. Gone are the days when there were no theological requirements for music ministers. Now is the time to look at music in the church in terms of worship. Thanks to Dr. Wida W. Harding and her work to establish the position Minister of Music for Worship."
Wow.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hey, is that something you can scan and send me? Because I'd love to put that on the website so people can read that.
Yes, and in fact, I'm trying to, I believe that it's online now. And either way, because I was going to send it to you, if I couldn't get it online today, I was going to overnight it to you anyway.
Oh, wonderful. So you've got 7 students who have completed this course of study. Although, as I understand it, there still is another component where they will continue to learn under the wing of a mentor. You might want to explain that a little bit. And you invited me to come to New York back last month and to participate in the first ever ordination of these students as they crossed the finish line and were ordained to the position of Minister of Music for Worship. Talk a little bit about that process. What are some of the things that these students went through? What was the course of study like? And then you might want to just say a word or two about the ordination day, which was absolutely amazing.
All right. Well, let me put it this way. When I went into the Army, I was trained to be a soldier, and then they trained me in my military occupational specialty or my job, and then they put me out in the field.
Yeah.
And so I trained them with the music ministry leadership background to be ministers. And so now everything that they've learned by textbook, we're going to put that into action over the next 8 months, and on every fourth weekend, everybody is going to meet somewhere, and we're going to have a Friday evening to a Saturday afternoon. They even want to do a Sunday at a church we've never gone to.
Wow.
So I'm looking at that. One weekend is going to be spent with a lady that is a pastor, but she is also an undertaker.
Huh.
And one weekend is going to be spent with a person who is extremely gifted in teaching people how to use their voice, how to sing with understanding. We're also going to spend one weekend on a missiological assignment. We're going to go to a VA. We're going to go to a hospital. We're going to go to a children's ward where the children are sick. We're going to go to a hospice.
Wow.
We're going to go to a nursing home. And after each experience, they have to debrief and write, because at the end of this part of it, I expect for them to have a book, The Mission, The Journey onto Being Minister of Music for Worship. The ones that were ordained when you came at Pentecost, and Pentecost is our birth.
I love it.
They have an ecumenical status. Once I am sure about them, I will send them anywhere in the world, and believe it or not, we're already getting questions from Denmark,
wow,
Spain, and Angola.
Wow.
So those are my ecumenical students. They will know how to deal with whatever denomination invites them. We're trying to keep it, though, the common bond across denominations. Then there is one who is going to get his walking papers from his denomination next week. I will be going to Kansas. And what that allows him to do is to walk within his denomination,
mm-hmm,
and really get information that he's used prior to the ordination in May tight, so that he can literally be the go-to person in his denomination. And should he pass that test, he will be ordained next year by his denomination. Anyone after that, starting in September 2016, who goes through this course, they will get a certificate and they can go back to their denominations for themselves. The course consists of textbook study. They will have online support or telephone support, and then they go to a residency program, kind of what we had when we were at the Weber Institute for Worship Studies, only because of some of them, their assignment requires that they are in their church. I'm going to try to make it so that it's 5.5 days. We come together on a Sunday evening, and we leave kind of like on a Saturday afternoon. And this practicum that we are getting ready to do for these next 8 months, we will rewrite it so that it becomes the residency program. So you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. I so want to be a continuing part of this because, I love you and I believe in you, but I think the work that you are doing in the Black Church is so foundational and so important, and it's just a marvel to watch you work and to be a part of it. Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Weta Harding. She's a dear friend. She's also a luminary in the Black Church in Harlem. And Weta, I was thinking as you were talking that some of the things that you're mentioning, some of the problems, some of the challenges in the Black Church are also problems and challenges in the White Church as well. And I think it's important that we continue to work together and think about it not being a White Church or a Black Church, but it's God's Church. And the more dialogue, the better these days, don't you think?
I know. I don't just think it. Reverend Gilyard said something to that extent in his sermon a few weeks ago. He said it shouldn't be a Black church. It shouldn't be a White church.
Yeah.
He said this is God's church. Because I really believe that when we get to glory, we're not going to be worshiping God based on our doctrine or our denomination. We're going to be worshiping God because of what God has done for us and because we belong to God. And I wish that we could start that here.
I'm so serious
about that. One of my dreams before I go to glory is to have an international choir, you know, like a choir rehearsal for heaven.
Yeah, oh.
I just see it. And I do know, though, that the dialogue is going to begin, because I also have the opportunity to sit with one of the officers of the National Baptist Convention, which is the largest African-American congregation, when you put us all together,
yeah,
in the world. We're over 7 million strong. And his assignment is approximately 30,000 clergy. And he said supposed to revolutionize the ministers within the convention. Well, I couldn't think of a better person for him to call on to help him do this than me.
I can't either.
And it just so happens that we grew up together.
Wow.
And he remembered me. My father trained his uncle, licensed his uncle, and his father worked with my dad. And so he's radical, and I'm radical, or it's the other way around. But we have a common goal to make some things work for the cause of Christ. And so, Chris, I really want to bring you in on this dialogue, because if we can get this dialogue started and people are listening to us, can you imagine what will happen when the word of mouth really begins to spread?
May it be as you have said. It's so time for us to show the world by our love that we love Christ and that we have a common bond together. I think we're seeing some of that, don't you, Wida, by the beautiful cross-denominational, cross-cultural coming together in Charleston just over the last few days.
I think that's
a beautiful picture, because we are all one body, the body of Christ. And I think that goes partly to what you and I have talked about in past times as well, with respect to the common bond that we have as Christians to the early church. Wida and I talk sometimes about the notion that, look, I will never understand firsthand what it is like to be African American. I don't understand all of the many ways that racism touches Black people in America today. However, we do have a common bond that we can each look to, the Black Christian and the white Christian, and that is the early Christian, because we both have a common heritage. We both call upon the name of Christ, and we both have a history that we share in the early church where there was persecution, and it was persecution simply for bearing the name of Christ, because in Christ Jesus there is no slave or free or male or female or Black or white. There is just simply the name of Christ. So Wida, one of the things that I'm hoping that we can also work on is this notion of reminding Black Christians and white Christians and everything else in between that we have a common heritage in the early church.
What do you think about us having a conference call? I started the dialogue here with, if you will remember, Reverend Addie Peterson, who was at the council.
Oh, yeah.
And also Reverend Leander Hardaway.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it, and I think it would be good for even the four of us to get on the first conference call and talk about it.
Sure.
And then let it grow from there, because they had some interesting comments, and I said, I wish Chris could hear this.
Yeah.
And I think, look, we can get another ball rolling, you know, never boring moment with me. So let's think about that. I would love to do that.
Yeah,
and maybe
I would too.
Your listeners at one time or another would want to come and be a part of that conversation also.
Well, Wida, I'm hoping too that we could do some of this racial reconciliation work in different places around the country. And I would love to bring you to Sacramento so we can start the dialogue here as well. That would be a wonderful thing to do. Don't you see us doing this in different parts of the country to talk about this?
I call it at the table.
At the table.
And, you know,
I love it.
When you were talking about what was happening in Charleston, for some reason or another, I have not yet been able to really fix my mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not other than a little bit here and pictures there. Because here we are again. After this blows over, do we go back to business as usual?
Mm-mm.
Does it take tragedy for us to really show each other how much we really love each other? That's what gets me. When crazy stuff happens, even if it's an accident in the street or somebody fainting in church or someone getting sick, they forget their differences and they link together with what they share in common. And so after this is over, what happens? Do we go back to business as usual? Or, Dr. Alford, this might be the very good time for us to start getting this fire thing going.
Yeah.
I have no problems with it. I've been kicked out of so many places. I'm getting kicked out of another place. It's just going to be another place to be kicked out of. I'll find another place to go to.
Wida, I'll never forget on the final morning, you were talking about the other pastors, and you all were taking me to the airport. And as we were coming across the George Washington Bridge, we all just spent some time praying over the city of New York, and it was so beautiful to have Black folks and white folks and everything else in between in that car and just simply calling upon the name of Jesus and praying over the city of New York. And I see us doing a similar kind of thing around the country as well.
Well, you can also throw in Japan, Korea, and Costa Rica, because they're interested too. And two pastors in Germany have reached out to me. So we've got something going on. And even if it's not even the music, that what you just spoke, I think we can make a difference somewhere. I believe the Lord would be pleased with it. And I know the Holy Spirit would guide us. And being that God is kind, this is what God would want us to do if we're representatives of God's Son.
Yeah, I agree. In our remaining moments, we have another minute or two. I wanted you just to touch on some of that. You mentioned it earlier, but could you just touch on one more time some of the international work that you're doing, and what are the connections? What are the international connections? I know folks are contacting you about interest in gospel music, but there are some other connections.
What is happening is that the gospel music of today is not necessarily the news of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our early gospel music is what has helped us to sustain ourselves in our lives, in our relationships, and especially in our meeting places, which then and even now was and is the church. The gospel music of yesteryear, the traditional gospel music, those are songs of affirmation, even inclusion, of love, of treating everyone right, not making a difference because someone is different than you, songs of liberation, songs that even helped us go from being in bondage to freedom, even if it was only in our minds. And many of the gospel songs always spoke of our relationship with Christ, with God, in and through Jesus Christ, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and even our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not so much me focus, but a we focus, or what God has done for me, and this is what I'm giving back to God. Today's songs are very commercial, and they're selfish. The gospel songs of yesteryear, or the traditional gospel, they were not selfish songs. And what I have found out from the international community is that, and one lady told me point blank, I can listen on the radio for anything I need. She said, but it's time for you to come back because they need to understand what this is really all about. And so the people from Korea, I just got an email from them because they're saying they don't know black gospel music, but they love it. They want to understand it. Christianity is only 110 years old in Korea. In Costa Rica, I was told, listen, and this is exactly what the lady said. She said, listen, we're the same. We might speak Spanish, but we're the same. They just dropped us off here before they went up the coast to you. We want that gospel music here. And then in Germany, a lot of the people in Germany know more about our history through our music than we do. And so they want that because that type of gospel music, it's a bonding type of music.
Yeah.
It's a we type. It's a I'm going to God, let's go together.
Wow.
I'm going for myself, but come on, this is what you need to do. And so that type of witness I can get with. I love it because it's not a me thing. It's not about me. It's about God in me. And I'm not going to let go of that music. Some of the contemporary music of today, yes, it's okay, but it doesn't give me something to feed off of, which is my program for the Ministers in Music for Worship. We feed them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Through worship, encouragement, fellowship, evangelism, and you educate the disciples for ministry. That's according to John 21:17, where Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. So we feed them. Just like you, Dr. Alfred.
You're a dear heart. I love you so much, and it's just such a marvelous thing to have you be part of the radio program today. Folks, you've been listening to an interview with Dr. Weta Harding. She is a wonderful friend and musician and minister and all kinds of things, but most of all, I just appreciate her for being my friend. She's calling in today from Harlem. We bless you, Weta, in your ministry for what you're doing. Thanks so much for being a part of the broadcast today.
Be with you, Dr. Alfred.
And also with you. Before we sign off, let me remind you to be thinking about this until we gather again. Surely the road to our evangelical future runs through our ancient Christian past. Until we gather again, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at ancient future faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113. or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.